should have worn mine. But
that's
I
right.
Always wore my ear ones, but I'm like, oh, that's a little much for me. And it'd probably go click, 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 click.
It's good. Maybe mine is.
I'm glad I have the wimpy one. If this is the wimpy. And laugh at us? Yeah.
I don't need the cough in my mouth.
I know. This morning, because I was with Becky, I was practicing, and I'm like, I'm not going to practice too much. And then, because I was crying, and then, so I'm going to practice. Don't put it in your and deliberately not sing the loud. Evie, this does track me right. Not knowing exactly when you said, I knew you said green, but I didn't know. Good. Sing in the mic. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Ready?
Well, I can't help it.
Good morning, Sebastopol Christian Church. Come on in, and we're going to get started. And the first song we're going to do is Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Okay. Which is good, because I don't want my...
Let's go.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Shepherds kept their watching, o'er silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and born.
One more.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Merry Christmas.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sebastopol Christian Church. We're in the heart of this Christmas season, and we're so glad that you are here to join us in worship. We trust that this is going to be a safe place for you, whether you're here live or whether you're joining us via the internet on live stream, where we can explore the Christian faith together, where we can talk about the birth of Messiah, Jesus the Savior. And it's only 2 days away, so we're going to celebrate that big time. If you are a guest with us, we have a gift for you. We'd love to give you this travel mug where you can put hot or cold liquid. This time of year, 99% make it hot. So make it a hot liquid and get your gift at the end of the service in the lobby area. Please just fill out this card and we'll exchange it at that time. Hey, right now we are in the Advent season, and some of you have a tradition in your churches. We have it here, where we're going to light the Advent candles. Now, This is kind of a quiz for those of you who have been here the last 3 weeks, because we are now in the fourth Sunday of Advent. Can everybody see? Let me just stand up here real quick. The first Sunday of Advent, does anybody remember what this candle represents?
Hope.
That's right. It represents hope. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, because for hundreds of years the prophets have been announcing that there was a Savior coming, and now he has arrived. The second candle which we lit, do you remember what this stands for?
Love.
Love, that's right, that God is love. Yeah, you remember because you lit it. That God is love, and there's no greater expression of love. In fact, the Bible says this is love, that God has sent us his Son to rescue us and to be our Savior. Now, the third Sunday of Advent is represented by a pink candle, which can remind us about Mary being the mother of the Savior, carrying the Christ child into the world, but it also represents joy, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. I bring you good news today of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Now, the fourth Sunday of Advent, this is a great one, because we're going to talk about this today. We're going to talk about peace. I don't know if you have much peace today. I think 2 days before Christmas, I think the world is running around frantically, still trying to get ready for Christmas, unbought gifts, undone chores. It just seems like the pressure is there. But there's something about God's peace that comes in, and it's a peace that the world doesn't give. It's a peace that comes from God, where it says it's not based on circumstances. We have peace with God because of his Savior Jesus, and we celebrate that today. So let's turn to one another now and greet each other and make sure that we all have peace. Peace. Peace.
There, but
oh.
Okay, everyone, if you'd like to continue to stand, please, and join us as we faithful are going to, oh, come on.
She can sing.
Yes, she can, but there's a story. Yes.
Communion and offering time. Could we have the servers come up, please? And as we sing this beautiful little story.
No crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is high. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender.
bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there. Amen.
Good morning, church family. It's good to see you all this morning. So before I give the reflection for communion, Pastor Jim asked me to mention something that my husband Troy and I are going to be doing in 3 days? Is it 3 days? I don't even know what day it is anymore. So on the 26th, Troy and I are going to be leaving for St. Louis, Missouri, and attending the Urbana 18 conference. This is a global missions conference that InterVarsity Christian Fellowship has put on since the 40s. So we're going to be going there to serve and work and welcome the 12,000 delegates who are coming to learn about God's global work and global missions. We're going to be bringing 22 students from Sonoma State, as well as a few from Santa Rosa JC. We have a couple, right, Troy, from Santa Rosa JC and some other local colleges. So we welcome your prayers for our health and travel and for our students to meet the Lord in that place. So this morning, as we approach communion, I didn't want to steal Jim's thunder, so I went to Isaiah. So hopefully that's not what you're doing today. There's only so many Christmas passages from the Gospels. So here's what was running through my mind this week. This is from Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 4. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teachings the islands will put their hope. And indeed our Lord arrived among us without shouting or violence, really without much notice at all. He was worshipped as he ought to have been, but only by a few shepherds. His arrival was heralded by angels and the gifts of kings, but all in relative secrecy, as much as you can keep a choir of angels secret, I suppose. And even creation held back its praise, giving just one star to announce his birth. Our Creator and Lord could have come into his world any way that he wanted. He has the right to have demanded allegiance, to dethrone the powers that be, to use force to bring about his perfect world order. But instead, we find him entering his world like any of us do, an infant. He brought justice while paving the way for mercy. And his invitation is still to allegiance, but he extends it with humility. It truly is an invitation rather than a demand. The day will come for every knee to bow to the Creator, but today as we take communion, we praise God for the mercy of his invitation. In this season, may we accept his humble invitation into the never-ending kingdom and deliver that same message to everyone around us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your humility, your smallness, your tenderness, Lord. And we thank you for this season to remember the way that you came to serve us and to die for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, now is the time that we get excited to give back to God. So as we get ready to give our gifts to God, will you join me in prayer, please? Father, thank you. Thank you for the gifts that you so generously give to us. We love you, Father. We thank you, especially at this time of year, we are reminded, for sending your Son to save us all. Father, take these gifts, multiply them, grow them, and help us to build your kingdom here at Sebastopol Christian Church, and also, Father, throughout Sonoma County and the world. We love you, and it's in your name we humbly pray. Amen. Well, those of us that call this church home have the privilege and the honor to now give our offerings to Jesus. Those of you that are visiting with us today, welcome. We are so happy that you are here, and we pray that this service is a gift to you. Well, speaking of gifts, you can't get away from that word. You probably heard me use it about 10 times in my prayer already, right? It's just on my lips. It's on my heart. It's on my mind, because this is the time of year when we realize that we received the greatest gift the world will ever receive, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But what that does is it gives us the opportunity to not just receive, but also to give back. And we are doing that in many ways this season. And I am so, so humbled and honored to be joining you in doing that. First of all, it's our Christmas Eve service. We're going to have our Christmas Eve service on Christmas Eve. Shocker. And here is the incredible part. It's tomorrow. Now, maybe that this is setting you up for the sermon, because if it does to you what it's doing to me right now, tomorrow's Christmas Eve, then we need that sermon on peace, the peace that God gives. And you're going to get that soon. But Christmas Eve services, we want to invite anyone and everyone to come. It's going to be a wonderful service, and a service that will set our heart and our mind on what we should be focused on. But it's also a wonderful opportunity for us to invite people. Excuse me. I have saved the fudge that I'm going to share with our neighbors for today, because I'm going to attach one of those Christmas Eve service invites to it with a candy cane on top. I mean, what's better than fudge and candy canes? And give it to our neighbors today so that they're reminded we want them here with us. Those invites are right there as you're leaving. Please take one and some candy canes. We're making it easy for you. So take a candy cane, take some invites, and please invite people to join us. Well, like I said, I'm humbled and blessed to be able to give back what we have so graciously received from God to others in our community. So because it falls on the Monday that we open up our church to the nomadic shelter, we are going to be blessed to be serving others who would not have a warm place to come and sleep, a shower to be clean, and a hot, warm meal. And thank you. That is a great reminder, because what I was going to say is that's so wonderful. No, I wasn't going to say that. That we are blessed because we have our Christmas Eve service that same night. So we're going to start at 5:00 with the Christmas Eve service right here, and they will all be in attendance with us. So they're not only going to get that warm meal, that shelter, they're also going to get the message of the season. So we are very blessed and honored to share that with them. And anyone who needs a meal is also welcome then to go downstairs after and be a part of that with them. And we want also to remind you that we have our youth going to camp. Do you remember when we ate that really yummy bread and that nice warm soup? That amazing gourmet soup that people want to order. Because we are sending our youth to Hume Lake Winter Camp. We met with Luke last week and he's excited. They're doing some great things over at the high school. And we just have a great lineup of kids that are excited to go to Hume Lake Winter Camp. So please be praying for all of their needs, because that kicks off the very first week of January. We want them to not just have a wonderful, fun time together. We want them to find Jesus. Jesus real in their lives. Well, last but certainly not least, you see that we still have our Christmas tree with the bright lights on it in the back. You took tags off of that tree. You graciously gave over, beyond and above what we ever imagined. And Jim and I were honored and privileged to be able to take those gifts personally to a church who has partnered directly with the fire victims of Butte County. I cannot express it well enough. I want you to hear it directly from one of the pastor's mouths. So join us now on the screen, will you?
Hey, we're here at Grace Community Church in Chico, California with Pastor Ed Kreisig. And Ed is our contact person. He's been here helping the fire victims, and he's receiving our gift cards that amount, I understand, over $4,000 to give to fire victims. So Ed was telling me about how the church first started with the fire. What was the first thing you guys decided to do to help?
Yeah, so early on, what we decided is that we would be a transitional shelter. So that decision was made based on the idea that our church building really isn't equipped to house people for an extended period of time. So what we chose is a period of about 48 hours to be the initial triage of getting people stabilized.
Yeah.
And then once the Red Cross shelter opened up at the Glenn County Fairgrounds, we transitioned our evacuees to that Red Cross center.
Now, besides the church here, did any of your families help out some victims?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, more specifically, many of us were housing our own family members who were coming down from Paradise.
You have family members.
That's correct. Right? That's correct. My mother-in-law, father-in-law, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, they all came to live with us right away. Yeah.
And how long have they stayed?
They stayed for a couple of weeks and then have been able to find other places.
Yep. We call them Paradisians?
Yeah, I think that's the correct way they say.
Paradise inhabitants. Okay.
Mm-hmm, yep.
So there was the initial, mm-hmm. and then I understand you guys made some contact with a church called Hope?
Yes, that's correct. So we came to know Pastor Stan from Hope Church. Actually, Pastor Brian, who's our senior pastor, he made contact with Stan just as a general reach out on saying, hey, how can we help?
Yeah.
And
where is this Hope Church?
Yeah, that's located in Paradise.
In Paradise.
Yes. And the building,
what's left of Paradise.
What's left of Paradise. Yeah. The building was completely burned.
Oh, boy.
We offered to assist them by creating a space. That's what they asked for. Is there any way we can create a space for our people to continue to meet? And so we quickly made that decision. It was a no-brainer, really.
I mean,
this was a great opportunity for the church to help the church. And so we met with Stan, met with his staff, immediately made great connection. And now Stan's church meets in our building right after our second service.
Wow.
So they have their own services.
How gracious of you guys to open up your church to them. That's wonderful. Now, I also heard that there's a school that's up in Paradise.
That's correct.
And you guys have really opened yourselves up to them as well.
Yeah, that's correct. So we were looking for opportunities to serve the public at large, seeing it as a very great opportunity to show the love of Jesus to those who may not know him.
Yeah.
And also just creating an opportunity to remember that yeah, there are kids out there that are in the most need of help. How can we help children? And this was just an obvious way for us, is to look at the number of schools that had been destroyed in that area and just know these kids are fully displaced. And so we came in contact with the Children's Community Charter School up in Paradise, and their building was completely burned. They are a K-8 school.
K-8,
and they have about 150 students in their enrollment. And we just basically did the same thing. We just made the connection with them, designed sort of the idea of how it might work, brought them in, we got to know each other, and then it went actually fairly quickly to where we had a signed 6-month contract to rent out our space and to use all 8 of our classrooms.
You're going to let that school meet on your campus?
That's correct.
For 6 months?
That's correct.
Help them get back on their feet?
With the option for 30 additional months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yep. Okay, these gift cards right here, where do you think they're going to be distributed?
Well, I know for a fact, I'm just going to say this, I'm a preacher, so I'm going to preach it. They're going to go exactly where God wants them to go.
Okay.
Because he is an amazingly great God who just always provides.
Yes, he is.
Indeed. And so we want to thank you for being a part of God's provision as a church. Really appreciate that. These things are going to go where they absolutely are needed, and that's most likely going to be with our Hope Church partners and the various families that have been affected there.
Yeah.
They know their congregants better than we do. They know who's in most need.
Uh-huh.
So we'll use them to decide some of those things. And we also want to make sure, since we have 100 students now on our campus, that there's an obvious connection there.
There'll be some great news there,
too. Absolutely.
I wish we could bring more, but
this is awesome.
I'm happy. Our church has been very generous to give out these gifts, and they're going to a great place, to a great church, providing hope and love and sharing God's love with people in need. So thank you, Pastor Ed. God bless you and
bless
your church.
You as well, brother.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Hey, thanks, G Neighbor and the team for putting that video up there. We just shot it on our iPhone, so that's what it was. Super high tech. But you guys get the idea. You know, we go up there to Chico with the shoebox full of gift cards that you guys provided during the Giving Tree season over this last month. And so they're going to meet the needs of this Hope Church, which was a church in Paradise that burnt to the ground. Grace Community Church in Chico was kind enough to let the Hope Church say, why don't you just meet on our campus at 1 o'clock on Sundays? So at 1 o'clock today, Hope Church meets in worship at the campus of Grace Community Church. So there's one ongoing blessing, and that's where most of our gift cards are going, for the families in that Hope Church from Paradise, now meeting in Chico. And then to come across the school, and then to say, hey, school, if you guys don't have a place to meet, since your building burnt down, why don't you come over to our campus? Now, let me tell you, that from having been at a church that has a school on campus, it is one thing to have another church. Like, we had a Korean church that met on our campus in Southern California, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. All we basically did was say, hey, clean up your communion cups, you know, get rid of some trash, and the auditorium's ready for you guys to come in. So the preparation was not all that big. But when you're talking about a school, K-8, that meets on your church campus Monday through Friday, 8 to 3, after school Bible club on steroids, you know, this is quite a sacrifice. So this church is doing marvelous work. Wonderful Pastor Ed that you saw right there. Pastor Brian is the lead pastor. So we may be in contact with them in the future in case there's additional ways that we can partner together. So thank you guys so much for your generosity and really helping to make a much better Christmas for a lot of families. We're in our series right now called Christmas Profiles. This is the last one. And we talked about angels last week, right? No, I'm sorry. Last week, today's on angels, right? Right? The first week we talked about Joseph, right? We talked about Joseph, the adopted father, who wasn't Jesus' biological father, but he became his adoptive father because the angel told him in a dream, Joseph, what that baby that Mary's carrying, that's a miracle baby conceived by the Holy Spirit. You're to marry that girl, and you're to be that boy's legal father. And so Joseph obeyed what God commanded him to do, and he was a hero for it. Last week, we talked about a man who missed his Messiah, King Herod, the one who should have bowed his knee to Jesus, just like the wise men did. But instead of going with the wise men to worship Jesus, all he did was try to get information from the wise men so he could find out the details of where Jesus was so he could go and destroy the Christ child. And of course, the one who ended up being destroyed was the one who tries to destroy. This is what the people don't understand about God. You can rail against God your whole life, and the only person who really loses is you, because you end up outside of a relationship with a God who loves you and who wants to be a part and a blessing in your life. So this week, we're coming up to a different topic. We're coming up to a topic called angels, the angels. Now, if you read the gospel accounts in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and in Luke chapter 1 and 2, those are where the gospel stories are found about the birth of Jesus Christ. When you read those accounts, you're going to see that angels are the most pivotal players in this drama. Matthew tells us that it was an angel who brought the announcement of the upcoming birth to Joseph. Luke tells us that it was Gabriel, this archangel, the only angel who's mentioned by name in these gospel accounts. Gabriel was the one who brought the announcement of the upcoming birth of Jesus to Mary. And then Luke tells us again that it was a host of angels who brought the birth announcement to the shepherds. Remember, the shepherds were out in their field by night. If you forgot that part, you can either go to Luke chapter 2 or you can watch It's a Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. And you can hear Linus reading it. The angel's role in the Christmas drama has been nearly immortalized by some of our favorite hymns. I mean, some of our favorite hymns are totally focused on the angels, right? There's one, if you go to the slide, there's one called Angels from the Realms of Glory. Do you remember that song? Point of Grace has a beautiful rendition of that. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight over all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. So we have angels from the realms of glory. We have another song, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. You remember that? That glorious song of old, from angels playing near the earth to touch their harps of gold. I don't know if they had harps of gold, but it's a nice song. Angels we have heard on high. What are they doing? Sweetly singing o'er the plain. Mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. And then they sing Gloria. Gloria in excelsis Deo. I don't know if the angels sang it in Latin. I doubt they did. But the hymn writer put it in Latin. Gloria in excelsis Deo, which everybody says, what a beautiful hymn. What a beautiful melody. It means glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, which is exactly what the angels proclaimed in Luke. We sang the first Noel. The first Noel, who said it? The angels did say. We have another song, Silent Night. Glories stream from heaven afar. The heavenly hosts are singing what? Alleluia. And then finally, Charles Wesley, one of my buddies, from my Wesleyan background. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Right? So all these hymn writers singing about the angels, they were right. The angels had a lot to say about Christmas. It's principally from the angels that we learn about Jesus' birth. So here's the question, if we're talking about angels today, why should we even care about these beings? They're messengers, they convey a story to us. What is it about these angels that make them reliable sources that we should listen to and pay attention to? Right? First of all, what do we know about angels? It is angels who come from the very presence of God in heaven. They're the ones coming directly from God as intermediaries, as messengers to give us the announcement about Jesus' birth. It was angels who declared to us all that is important for us to know about Christmas. Right? Remember I mentioned Gabriel. Gabriel's the only angel mentioned by name. If you want to do a Bible trivia question, you say, how many angels are mentioned by name in the Bible? There's two of them. There's one who is the angel who's sort of this protective archangel over the people of Israel. His name is Michael. Michael the archangel. You can read about him battling Satan in Revelation 12. We referenced that last week. But the angel Gabriel is the one that's mentioned in the Christmas story. And he says about himself, remember he was telling Zechariah about you're going to give birth to John the Baptist, even though you're an old man and even though your wife Elizabeth is an old lady. I don't know if he was that blunt, but he said she's advanced in age and well beyond her childbearing years. Okay, so read between the lines. So they're too old to have children, but the angel Gabriel said, miraculously, you're going to have a child, and he's going to become John, which we know as John the Baptist. And Zechariah doubts and says, I don't get it. How is this going to happen? And the angel, in reply to him, says, Zacharias, I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me here to bring you this good news. So the angels are in the presence of God. There's where they get the message. They don't invent the message. They don't create the message, but they are certainly the ones who convey the message to us. Now, who and what are the angels? Okay, let's just go through a quick understanding. What are the angels? What do the angels do? What do they don't do? Who are they and who are they not? Seven details about the angels. Number one, angels are spirit beings. Angels are spirit beings. They are not human. They are not the same as human beings. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies that I watch every year with Jimmy Stewart, the guy that I was named after, if you know my story. Jimmy Stewart, you know, in that story, there is an angel named Clarence. And Clarence comes down from heaven, and Clarence died 200 and some years ago, and now he's waiting to get his wings, and he has to come back to earth as an angel to help somebody that God wants to help, right? Great story, but that is not true according to the Bible. Sorry, Frank Capra, you got that part wrong. Angels are spirit beings. They're not human. They're not humans who have died and come back to life again. People and angels are separate species, separate groups. They are different categories of beings. So they're not human. Number one, number two, angels are immortal, meaning they can never die. They, in Luke chapter 20, when Jesus was answering a question, he was saying about in the resurrection, and it says, and they will never die again. In this respect, they are like the angels. They can never die again. So angels are immortal. Thirdly, angels are holy. Angels are holy, not in the sense that God is holy, but angels are holy in the sense that they are set apart unto God. He said, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. So when Jesus comes back again, he's coming back with his holy angels. The next detail about angels is there's a lot of them. Myriads of them. Angels are innumerable. You have come to Mount Zion, it says in the book of Hebrews. You have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. So there are a lot of them. So when you talk about a guardian angel, think of how many people on earth, how many children have their angels that Jesus say are looking over them. They are innumerable. Next, angels are powerful. It says in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, you angels of his, you mighty creatures who carry out his plans, listening for each of the Lord's commands. So they're powerful. They are sexless, meaning they are neither male nor female. Jesus, when he's talking about the resurrection, and he's talking about will there be marriage in heaven or not. And here's another bubble I really don't want to burst, but according to Jesus, there's not going to be marriage in heaven like we have marriage here on earth. And because Jesus says this, for when the dead rise, they will not be married. They will be like the angels in heaven. Meaning there's neither male nor female. Now, when you see Touched by an Angel in some of those shows, they always show up as male or female because human beings play the angels. So I'm not even going to go down that road. But they're neither male nor female. They're sexless. And then finally, what is the purpose of angels? Angels are here to serve. This comes from Hebrews. This is one of the greatest descriptions of angels I think there is in the New Testament. It says, but angels are only servants. They are spirits sent from God to care for all those who receive salvation. So they're spirits sent from God. They're there to serve God. They're here to serve us. Angels are not to be worshipped. They are not God. Every time, you know, in the book of Revelation, John receives this amazing revelation from God, and he always falls down on his knees, and he usually falls at his knees below, right in front of the angel. And the angel says, get up, worship God. I'm not, you know, he's not God. Don't worship the angels. Paul says this in Colossians, and he was talking about how the church gets off track. And he says, instead of worshiping the one true God, mankind wants to worship everything else but God. And he says, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-debasement and delighting in the worship of angels. In that context, Paul's saying, you're mistaken. You start worshiping angels instead of the God who created them. Here we are again. You know, mankind always wants to find something visible, something tangible, to make up their own God, to make a visible God. And God's saying, do not worship the creation. Worship the Creator, the holy, awesome God who made all of us, including the angels. So angels shouldn't be worshipped. And here's another reason why the angels shouldn't be worshipped. Angels can't even hold a candle to Jesus. I mean, it's not like Jesus is A plus and the angels are A or A minus, you know, in a certain category system. The angels can't even hold a candle to Jesus. Look what it says in Hebrews. In the past, talking about Jesus compared to angels. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Sustaining, and by the way, when Jesus says, if anyone has seen me, he's seen the Father. Well, think about this first. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, and so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So the angels can't even begin to compare to Jesus Christ. So the angels are not superior beings to Jesus. Angels, here's another thing about them. They're not even superior in a certain sense to us, to human beings. They might be great and mighty and powerful, and they can fly, and they can become visible and invisible and go in and out of our physical existence and into the heavenly realm. They can do all that, but in another sense, they are not superior to human beings. Paul says this in his letter to the Corinthians. Don't you realize that we Christians will judge even angels? So somehow, Christians who are redeemed by Christ in the second coming, when Jesus sets up his millennial kingdom, we are going to be judging even angels. And I think what Paul means that is when we take part in the in that future kingdom, there will be the judgment of fallen angels, the angels who rebelled against God and went with Lucifer, who became Satan. So God is committing to helping us, not the angels. And again, in Hebrews, for assuredly, God does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Here's another thing to know about angels, because sometimes you say, well, angels are, if they're in the presence of God, they must know everything that God knows. That's not true. Angels are not all-knowing. Peter says this in his letter. He says, God revealed to these prophets that their work was not for their own benefit, but for yours. Now the prophets, talking about the prophets and predicting the future and talking about the coming of Jesus, like Isaiah with, you know, you will give birth to a son, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Emmanuel, for unto us a son is given. All these prophecies hundreds of years before Christ came. As they spoke about these things, Christ's sufferings and glory, which you now heard from the messengers who announced the good news by the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So he's saying, look, the prophets announced the coming of Christ. Now the apostles and the leader of the church, they are proclaiming the good news message in the churches and building the kingdom of God. And now it gets to the angels, and it says, these are things which even the angels would like to understand. So the angels don't know everything. They don't have a complete understanding of what our redemption and our salvation and what God was really doing completely when he sent Jesus to us. They don't know. And here's another thing, reason, here's another comparison between us and angels and how we're different from them. The angels don't know what it's like to be separated from God by sin. They don't fully understand how much Jesus loves us in order and so much that he sacrificed himself to save us. The angels do have a genuine interest in human affairs, and according to Jesus in Luke 15, the angels rejoice. You know what really makes the angels rejoice? You know what's that song, Heaven Don't Strike Up the Band for Any Old Occasion at Hand? It's got to be a special thing to make the angels sing. And he says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. So every time a human being bows his or her knee to Jesus and saying, you know what, God, I want to invite you into my life. I want to follow you. I want you to be my Savior and Lord. When a human being does that, all heaven breaks out in celebration. And the angels are joyful for that. So the angels do have an intense interest in human affairs. They want to know what's going on among us, and they share the good news with us. They're the messengers of the good news. Now, here's something about angels, of how we are different from angels. Jesus himself comes into the world, not just to die for our sins, but Jesus comes into the world to come into your life, and he absorbs everything that is dirty and ugly and negative about your life, and he takes that upon himself to make you his own. Jesus frees you from all the consequences and all the fallout of sin. And everything that sin just makes everything ugly in this world. So Jesus not only cleanses you from the dark side of your personality, but Jesus also credits to you his own righteousness. And then Jesus starts this lifelong process. And this is why some of the gospel proclamation in the world today I really don't like. Because a lot of the gospel messages is, hey, Jesus came and he died on the cross for your sins. He's risen from the dead. You can have forgiveness and eternal life and go to heaven if you believe in him. What do you say? You bow your knee or you close your eyes and say this prayer with me. And if you say this prayer and accept Christ, you'll go to heaven when you die. And that's all you need to know. And there's the gospel message. That's all there is to it. That's a good part of the gospel message. But what Jesus is inviting us to after he saves us from our sins is Jesus starts this lifelong process of changing us, of transforming us little by little, step by step, day by day. He changes us into his likeness and character. That's what makes us different from the angels. Because that change that we have into Christ's likeness, it is an amazing thing. And here's a little Christian life hack for you. That transformation that Jesus is committed to do in your life, it'll go a lot easier for you if you cooperate with him. I remember back in the 1980s and 90s, there was this great speaker, Christian professor. His name was Tony Campolo, Dr. Anthony Campolo. He gave a talk one time, Tony Campolo did, on heaven and the angels. And this is what he said. Tony Campolo speaking. He says, I don't know about you. He says, but I can't wait to get to heaven when I die. Because I'm going to walk in to heaven. I'm not just going to walk in. He says, I'm going to strut into heaven. And I'm going to yell at the angels when I get there, out of my way, angels. Because you know why? Because they're only messengers. You there, get me a hamburger. Does that sound arrogant to you? And this is Tony Campolo. I don't have the guts to say it, but I can quote him. So Tony Campolo, does that sound a little arrogant to you, a little glib, a little too full of himself? He says, but here's the thing, and this is why I think Tony Campolo could say something like that, because for us human beings, God gave us the ability to make moral choices. This is something that separates us from the angels, and God gives us the freedom that the angels do not have. With that freedom of choice comes responsibility, and yeah, you look around, Christ the Savior, he needs to come again. The Prince of Peace needs to come and bring peace to this world because this is a messed up world. 2,000 years after Christ has come, it's still a messed up world. There's still a lot of evil around. And sometimes we even contribute to the evil in the world through our own disobedience and rebellion against God. But every time, now here's the difference. This is what makes us separate from the angels. Every time you and I choose the good, every time we choose to act on what is good, in a small way, we are getting rid of just a little more evil that's in the world. Paul says it this way in Romans. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Another translation says, don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing good. When you and I, when we consistently live in a way that does good in our lives, you know what we become? We don't just become Christ followers. We become heroes in God's sight. Because what makes a hero is at a crossroads in life, when you can go one of two ways. You know, don't be like Yogi Berra. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. You know, there's just no wisdom in that. It's kind of funny, but there's no wisdom in that because you have to choose between the right path and the wrong path. And you know when you're coming to a crossroads like that in your life. You can probably recall moments in your life when you said, I wish I had chosen this way instead of that way, right? When you choose the right path, when you resist the temptation to take the wrong path, as you do that consistently, you are becoming a hero in God's sight. You could have gone the wrong way, but in faith, you chose the right way. And God says that he loves it when we overcome evil with good. He loves it, and he says he's going to reward us when we do. Think of a hero. Think of a hero like Mary. You don't think Mary had a choice when the angel Gabriel came to her? Mary, I've got some great news for you. You're highly favored with God. And she's like, okay, so what do you want me to do? You're going to bear the Christ child. You're going to be a virgin. You're going to conceive. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And that which is in you is going to be the Holy Son of God. And Mary's at a crossroads. And Mary's like, wow, what do I do with this message? Do I accept what God wants to do in my life? Because this is a completely different pathway for my life than what I thought it might be, right? So when Mary chose to say, I am the Lord's servant, and be it done to me according to your will, when she submitted her will to the will of God, there's the difference between Mary, a human being, and an angel. An angel can't do that. An angel is stuck in their nature now. We have the ability to choose, and we have the ability to make right choices and wrong choices. And Mary, when she made that right choice to say, be it done to me, I am willing to accept whatever God wants in my life, that's where she becomes a hero. That moral capability that you and I have as human beings, that's what separates us from the angels. We have the ability to conquer evil by doing good. We have the ability to not give in to temptation. Have you ever been afraid, but you chose to act courageously? Have you ever seen somebody suffering, and you didn't just look the other way? You actually stopped and took time and acted with compassion to help them? Have you ever seen injustice in the world, and you finally just said, no more of this, I'm sick of this. I'm not going to put up with this injustice. And it moved you to do something right so that justice was brought into the world instead. That's how we're overcoming evil by doing good. You know, our church, I'm so proud of our church. You know, the giving tree and the gifts we were just able to drop off, doing good in the world, overcoming evil with good. There's a mission organization that our church supports. You guys are familiar with this? We just started supporting them in the last year and a half. They're called the International Justice Mission. It's a great organization. Their goal, they're a global organization. They're in lots of countries. They have a plan. Their mission is to eliminate human trafficking and slavery everywhere it exists in the world. And I want to read to you one of the success stories of the International Justice Mission. Think of it in terms of do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This happened in November, so it's only a month ago. It happened in the Caribbean in a nation called the Dominican Republic. And it says this, after 6 months of investigation, the International Justice Mission supported a rescue operation led by the Dominican Anti-Human Trafficking Unit. And it brought freedom to five girls ages 14 to 17 and a young woman from a bar just outside Santo Domingo. While investigating the bar, the local authorities identified a potential child victim of exploitation. Her name was Rebecca, and they called on the International Justice Mission for support. And on a Thursday night in November, the International Justice Mission and the police, together, they entered that bar located at the end of a dark dirt road, and they were looking for one specific teenage girl. Her name was Rebecca. She was 17 years old. They rescued her, they rescued four other minor girls, and they rescued a 19-year-old young woman. The investigation revealed this. There was sexual exploitation going on. Men would come in and they would pay the equivalent of $10 to have their way with these young girls in a shack-like room behind the bar. But following this rescue operation, this bar now, and here's the good news, after the intervention here, the bar's now been completely shut down. Four men have been arrested and taken into custody, and these five underage girls and a 19-year-old have been rescued from sex slavery and trafficking. On that night, they provided on-site trauma support for these survivors. They collaborated with the local officials to transport Rebecca and these other young women to a government-run welfare shelter where they received medical attention and crisis care. Going forward, this is what they're saying, the IJM, or International Justice Mission, they're going to support the public prosecutor in the legal case against the suspects, and they're going to represent the survivors in court. So there's just another great example that the International Justice Mission, which we're a part of, and we're not a huge part of it, but it's great to say that when you give, it's going to help causes like the International Justice Mission overcome evil by doing good in this world. And that's something I wanted to share with you guys, that God is at work overcoming evil by doing good in this world. Friends, here's the thing about you and I lives. When you and I start to change, when we start doing less evil and doing more good, we are growing, we're being transformed in the image of Christ. When we do that, we are doing what the angels could never do. Here's another thing that you and I can do, something that the angels can never do. You can receive God's gift of forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus. You have the ability to change, to transform from the inside out. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old ways have gone. The new life has come. And you have the ability now to overcome evil by doing good. You have the ability to act now in this world in a redemptive way. You can use your moral choices to bring about good into your world. You can exercise your faith. You can bless others with your compassion as you go about doing good. And when you come to the end of your life, and if you have a long track record of overcoming evil with good, then that's where you can be like Tony Campolo, and that's where you can say, "Step aside, angels, I'm coming through." And when you get there, this is what Tony Campolo says. He says, "I'm going to go up before the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to be able to look at God, and I'm just going to be able to stand there. I'm not going to have to say anything. I don't have to say anything because Jesus will be there, and he's going to say, 'Father, I would like you to meet my friend Tony. My friend Tony, the one I've perfected.'" And then he said, "I hope my wife's there." When that happens, he says, you say, "Tony, how can you get away with that?" Well, Tony can only be made perfect when all his sins are blotted out. And that's why it says in Psalm 12, "Your sins are blotted out. They're buried in the deepest sea. Your sins are remembered no more." Psalm 103 says, "God has removed our rebellious acts as far away from us as the east is from the west." Unlike the angels, we can walk into heaven clean and unafraid because Jesus has come to earth and he's completed his rescue operation in our individual lives. Now let's circle back. It took a long time to get there, but I hope you understand. We're different from the angels. We have an advantage that the angels don't have. We have the opportunity to be heroes in this world, to overcome evil by doing good. Back to what the angel proclaimed. Luke chapter 2, he said, "Don't be afraid." Remember, he was talking to the shepherds. He was talking to the people outside of Bethlehem, taking care of their sheep out in the fields at night. And they saw the angel, and they were afraid. Who wouldn't be overwhelmed by that presence of that great heavenly being. But here's what he said. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, in the city of David. You see, that angel could announce good news of salvation. The angel could announce the message, but the angel cannot experience salvation. Only you and I, only human beings can experience salvation, where I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. And even the joy that the angels have, it's not for their own sake. It's not for their own salvation. The angels have never known the joy of their own salvation. The angels of God never were separated from God by sin. The joy they know is a joy that they have for us. The angels are just happy for us. The angels were there for Jesus, you know, all through his life, not just when Jesus was born, not just the announcement to Zechariah or the announcement to Mary or the dream where the angel appeared to Joseph. The angels saw Jesus when he was born. The angels saw Jesus when he resisted Satan and his temptations in the desert. The angels ministered to Jesus when he was suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. The angels were at his tomb when he came alive from after he was dead. And the angels are going to hear this. There's one more thing the angels are still going to do that they haven't done yet. The angels are going to hear a command that comes from Jesus himself. And it says this in Matthew chapter 24. It says, "And he, the Son of Man, will send forth his angels with the sound of a mighty trumpet blast, and they will gather together his chosen ones." Anyone who's in Christ is a chosen one. They will, that's us. So it is worth saying a woo-hoo. They will gather together as chosen ones from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. So the angels are going to gather all the redeemed human beings, and they're going to bring them to Jesus himself. And that will be another great day of rejoicing, because we will get to join in the celebration of Jesus' victory, where the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior and his Christ. "Glory to God in the highest," the angel said, "and peace to those on whom his favor rests." Over and over, the angels are saying peace and grace, grace and peace, reconciliation and peace. Some of us have this already. For a lot of us, genuine peace is still what we lack. Some of us have the peace of God. Some of us don't quite have it yet. But I want you to know that everybody can leave this room today knowing for sure that you have the peace of God. Only those whose hearts are at peace can become peacemakers. You can't give away what you don't have. If you don't have peace in your heart, you can't proclaim with any credibility that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But God's peace can be yours through a personal relationship with Christ. There can be a lasting peace in your life. It's not going to come from within yourself. It's not going to come from circumstances. That peace won't come to you, and that peace won't stay with you until Jesus, the Prince of Peace, reigns in your heart. Here's the good news. You can have peace with God right now. It's not elusive. It's not impossible to get. It's not out there beyond the horizon. You don't have to work for it. God promises you his peace when you make that moral choice to turn back to God in faith and to trust in him and to put your trust in Jesus. The Bible says you cross over the line of faith. You cross over from death to life. Instead of being at odds with God, now you can become God's friend. I hope that's something that you want in life, because Romans says this: "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." If you want that relationship with the Prince of Peace, I invite you to bow with me in prayer right now. And as our eyes are closed, as our heads are bowed in this holy moment, I just want to ask you this question. Are you ready? Are you wanting to have the peace that Jesus offers? Maybe you're aware of why Jesus came, of why he's called the Messiah, why he's called the Savior, why he's called the Prince of Peace. He paid the price for your sins. He opened the way up for you to have peace with God. And all you have to do is embrace him. All you have to do is say yes, you want him in your life and you're willing to follow him. If that's where you are right now, I want to give you that opportunity to do just that. Please pray along with me this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Prince of Peace. I believe that peace will come to anyone who puts their trust in you. And that, God, that's what I want in my life right now. Lord, I want to have your peace. I want to know what it's like to be forgiven, to be in that right relationship with God. God, I want to know that there's no barrier anymore between me and you. God, I want to know that I have eternal life through faith in your Son, Jesus. And right now, I'm putting my trust in Jesus. If he's the Savior of the world, Lord, I want him to be my Savior too. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for giving me that hope that someday I'm going to be able to stand in your presence and say, step aside, angels, I'm coming through, because the Prince of Peace is my Savior too. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers today. We lift them up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Choir, I think you've got a song for us. song. Thank you for being here today for this service. I hope you have a little more hope and love and joy and peace in your life. May the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And I want to invite you all to come back tomorrow night. Yes, tomorrow night's Christmas Eve. We have one service, 5 o'clock p.m. We hope to fill this place. Bring a family member or a friend. We'll see you then. God bless.
angels sing, praises ring to the newborn King. Peace on earth, here with us, joy awakening. At your feet we fall. Came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in silence stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the golden skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled.
You're the love song. You're the love song. You so love the world. You're the love song. You came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. No.
Story of amazing love.
Absolutely. Actually, more specifically, many of us were housing our own family members who were coming down from Paradise.
You have family members.
That's correct.
There, right?
That's correct. My mother-in-law, father-in-law, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, they all came to live with
they
us right
with
away.
You.
Yeah.
And how long have they stayed?
They stayed for a couple of weeks then have been.
Thank you.
morning, everybody. We've got a special treat this morning from our children's ministry, so I'm going to give it over to Betty Ann, and she's going to let you know what's happening.
Good morning, Sebastopol Christian Church. Happy Christmas Eve. The kids are going to read from Luke and Isaiah this morning for you, and we have the wonderful Angel and the wonderful Eva and Levi and Caleb, and I'm going to be the microphone. Oh, they gave you mics. You guys are awesome. Okay, and I'd like to, oh, come on, Lachlan. Awesome. Stand between here, bud. So we have the words up on the screens, and we'd really like the congregation to join us. There are two places where it says all in green, if you just really give us your biggest voices and join in, okay?
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth, and everyone went to their own town to register. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child.
While they were there, the days were completed for Mary to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night.
And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all of the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men."
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given.
And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called
Wonderful Counselor, Loving God.
Mighty God,
Everlasting Father,
Prince of Peace.
Thank you, guys. Awesome.
Thank you to our special kids and our readers, especially Eva and Angel. They did a marvelous job. Way to go, guys. Thank you, Betty Ann, for bringing them in and sharing the Christmas joy with us. Great story. We're going to be talking about angels this morning. We're going to be talking about peace this morning. Hey, welcome to Sebastopol Christian Church. My name is Jim, and I'm pastor here, and I want to welcome you. It's great to see all your smiling faces. Lachlan, make sure you get that donut. Go for it. Now you can pray for those children's workers about 15 minutes from now. All right. Hey, if you're a guest with us this morning, we have a special gift for you. I have this travel mug, and it, with hot or cold beverages, 99% in this weather, make it a hot beverage. So please fill out this welcome card, and we'll exchange it in the lobby area right after the service. We're only 2 days away from Christmas. Great service today. We've got another great Christmas Eve service coming tomorrow at 5, so be sure to make plans for that. Hey, let's stand now and let's greet one another.
It's four, sorry. Right there.
Y'all want to continue standing, folks, as we start this service with Talking to the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go.
Adore him.
adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
Amen and amen.
Love it.
As we come into this time for our communion meditation and our offering, servers, if you'd like to come up, please come on and up as we sing Away in a Manger, which is a beautiful song to our little baby Jesus, who grew up into the King of Kings.
Church, Merry Christmas. Before I give a reflection for our communion, Pastor Jim asked me to mention an event that's going on for you all to pray for. On the 26th, my husband Troy and I, we work with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and we'll be leaving for Urbana 18, which is a global, global missions conference that InterVarsity has been hosting since the 40s. We'll be there with about 12,000 delegates who will be learning about global missions and what God is doing around the world. We'll be bringing 22 students from Sonoma State University, so we just, thank you. We covet your prayers largely for health, but also for safe travel as we go to be there. So this morning, as I said in first service, I didn't want to steal Jim's thunder, so I picked a passage from Isaiah. There are only so many Christmas passages in the Gospels. So this is a reading from Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 4. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teachings the islands will put their hope. And indeed, as this passage says, our Lord arrived without shouting or violence, and really without much notice at all. He was worshipped as he ought to have been, but only by a few shepherds. His arrival was heralded by angels and the gifts of kings, but all in relative secrecy. And even creation held back its praise, giving only a star to announce his birth. And friends, our Creator and Lord could have come into his world in any way that he wanted. He could have come demanding allegiance. He could have dethroned the powers that be. He could have used force to bring about his perfect world order. But instead, we find him entering his world like any of us do, an infant. He brought justice while paving the way for mercy. His invitation is still to allegiance, but he extends that invitation with humility. It truly is an invitation rather than a demand. So the day will come for every knee to bow. But today, as we take communion, we praise God for the mercy of his invitation. And in this season, may we accept that humble invitation into the never-ending kingdom and deliver that same message to those around us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this season's reminder of your gentleness and mercy and goodness. We thank you for introducing yourself to us in such a humble and approachable way. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would be transformed in this season. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Now is the time when we get excited because we have the opportunity, the blessing, to give back to God. He has so graciously given so much to us. And so we want to bow our heads, we want to thank him, and then we want to give. Father, thank you so much for the blessings in our lives that are just too many to count. Father, we thank you because we know that all good and perfect gifts come from you. So we praise you, Father. Today, accept our humble gifts as we give them. Bless our church, Father, with them, and bless our community and our world with them, as only you can do. Increase them, Father, and cause them to grow so that your will be done. It is in the precious name of Jesus we pray and believe all these things. Amen. All right, well now, like I said, if we call Sebastopol Christian Church our home, then it's our joy to give right now. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. We are so happy that you are here. Merry almost Christmas. And we just hope that this service is a blessing and a gift to you. We have some exciting things going on around this place. In fact, last week was so jam-packed, it just felt like Christmas every day, right? We had something every night. We were so blessed. We went caroling in the town, which was so well received, such a joy. We had so many wonderful opportunities to share the love of Jesus. And that doesn't end because now it's almost Christmas Eve. Okay. Jim's going to light the Advent calendar. And when he does, he's going to let us know that the last candle he lights is the candle for peace. I whispered that on purpose. Because if I really said the word the way that I'm feeling most of the time this time of the year, it would come out more like, peace, what's that? It seems elusive to us in the craziness of this season. But you know what? Because we are blessed by God, if we know him, he promises us peace. It's crazy, not always easy to find, but he does. And he says, you know what? It's not a peace you can define. In fact, it's not even a peace that you understand. It's a peace that only I can give you. Now, again, just like Jackie was so respectful to Jim, I'm not going to steal his thunder on that part of the sermon. But it's perfect that today we're going to light the candle of peace because tomorrow, I'll whisper it so it doesn't hit you quite so hard, it's Christmas. So guess what, guys? Ready or not, here it comes. When we turn our hearts and we focus on the true meaning of the season, then it just becomes joy. And we're going to help you with that little piece of peace and that big amount of joy by having our Christmas Eve service. It will be right here at 5 o'clock. We want you to grab an invite. They're on the back table as you leave. We've made it really easy for you to put a candy cane attached to it and just invite someone with it because we also put some candy canes back there. So take a candy cane, invite someone, and enjoy. I've saved the fudge that I'm going to cut up and give to our neighbors at this time of the year for today specifically because I'm going to attach an invite to it, put the candy cane on top, and come on, what's better than candy canes and fudge? So at least they'll be blessed, and we hope that they will join us. Well, I am humbled to stand alongside you and love our community with you. And so we have something very special happening this year on Christmas Eve, because it happens to fall on a Monday evening when we host the Nomadic Shelter. So not only will they get a delicious meal, and they always do, they will feel loved with hot, warm food. They will have a warm place to sleep. They will be able to take a shower, feel clean, and feel secure. But this year, they're going to come first to the service at 5 o'clock and join us. So they're also going to get the gospel message, the true meaning for the season. So please, please join us. And as Eve reminded me last service, if you're hungry, you can come down and eat too. We want you to feel welcome. And we also are looking forward to kicking off the new year with a new sermon series. Not going to tell you what that is yet. It's a little bit of a surprise, but it's coming. So get ready. And after you have eaten more Christmas cookies than you can count, you have sugar highs that are going to last you through next month, it's time to get ready to kick off a new year. And we're very excited for that right here at Sebastopol Christian Church. We also are excited that our youth are going to get to take a trip that we would like you to pray along with us will change the lives of every student that goes. It's a great opportunity. Do you remember when your tummies were warm with that gourmet, delicious soup we had and that delicious warm bread? Well, it was for a reason. It was to help raise money so that everyone who wanted to go to this camp this year would be able to go. So please pray along with us that that will happen, that they will stay healthy, that nothing will hold them back, and then pray for all their needs because God knows them. And there's needs going into it, there's needs while they're there, and needs while they're coming home. So pray that this year's youth winter camp will be the best. And then, absolutely last but not least, again, it is hard for me to stand here and not cry when tears of joy fill me and could stream down my face as I remembered the gifts that you gave from this year's giving tree. Jim and I were humbled and overwhelmed to be able to deliver them. That box was full, and it represented almost $5,000 of your giving. We were incredibly, incredibly humbled. We just were blessed to be able to deliver it to the church that has partnered firsthand with victims who have lost their very own church home, a school that was there, and many of their family members, their own homes. And so I can't do it justice, so I want you to watch this with me, please.
Hey, we're here at Grace Community Church in Chico, California with Pastor Ed Kreisig. And Ed. Hey, we're here at Grace Community Church in Chico, California. We're going to do our Advent candles again. Now, this is something that in the Christian churches over the centuries, they have practiced this as a way of anticipating the coming of Christ Jesus into our world to be our Savior. The first candle that we lit, this is a little test for you guys who are here maybe the first Sunday, because this is the fourth Sunday of Advent now. So back 3 weeks ago, we lit the very first candle of Advent. Do you remember what that represented? Hope, that's right. Hope, that Jesus is hope, that a hope that does not disappoint us, that it says a thrill, as the song says, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. So we light the candle of hope. The second light that we light, this candle here, represents love, that God is love, that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to us. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us first and sent Jesus to us. Now, the third candle is unique because it reminds us of Mary, and that's why it's pink, or some people say rose color. That's a fancy way of saying pink to me. But this candle right here represents two things. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who agreed and said, "May it be done to me," when the angel said, "You're going to be the mother of Messiah, the Savior of the world." And she agreed, and she said, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be done to me as you have said." So we remember Mary, and we also remember joy, that this brings joy to the world because Mary said yes to becoming the mother of the Savior. And then finally today, being the fourth Sunday of Advent, we have that elusive word that is hard for us to find sometimes, especially in a busy Christmas season and a hectic time. We may feel like we don't have the resources, we don't have enough loved ones around us. We may feel like there's anything going in our lives that hardly anything that gives us peace at all. But we know that Jesus is the peace, that he gives us a peace that passes understanding, that when we remember what Jesus has done for us, the Bible says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." And so we can experience that peace today. Are we ready for the video? Let's see if the video works. This is an interview that I had with a pastor up here in Chico. Here at Grace Community Church in Chico, California, with Pastor Ed Kreisig. And Ed is our contact person. He's been here helping the fire victims, and he's receiving our gift cards that amount, I understand, over $4,000 to give to fire victims. So Ed was telling me about how the church first started with the fire. What was the first thing you guys decided to do to help?
Yeah, so early on, what we decided is that we would be a transitional shelter. So that decision was made based on the idea that our church building really isn't equipped to house people for an extended period of time. So what we chose is a period of about 48 hours to be the initial triage of getting people stabilized.
Yeah.
And then once the Red Cross shelter opened up, at the Glenn County Fairgrounds. We transitioned our evacuees to that Red Cross Center.
Now, besides the church here, did any of your families help out some victims?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, more specifically, many of us were housing our own family members who were coming down from Paradise.
You have family members.
That's correct. That's correct. My mother-in-law, father-in-law, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, they all came to live with us right away. Yeah.
And how long have they stayed?
They stayed for a couple of weeks and then have been able to find other places.
Yep. We call them Paradisians?
Yeah, I think that's the correct way they say.
Paradise inhabitants. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there was the initial, and then I understand you guys made some contact with a church called Hope.
Yes, that's correct. So we came to know Pastor Stan from Hope Church. Actually, Pastor Brian, who's our senior pastor, he made contact with Stan, just as a general reach out on saying, "Hey, how can we help?"
Yeah.
And
where is this Hope Church?
Yeah, that's located in Paradise.
In Paradise.
Yes. And the building
left of Paradise.
What's left of Paradise? Yeah. The building was completely burned.
Oh.
And so we offered to assist them by creating a space. That's what they asked for. Is there any way we can create a space for our people to continue to meet? And so we quickly made that decision. It was a no-brainer, really.
I mean,
this was a great opportunity for the church to help the church. And so we met with Stan, met with his staff, immediately made great connection. And now Stan's church meets in our building right after our second service.
Wow.
So they have their own services.
How gracious of you guys to open up your church to them. That's wonderful. Now, I also heard that there's a school that's up in Paradise.
That's correct.
And you guys have really opened yourselves up to them as well.
Yeah, that's correct. So we were looking for opportunities to serve the public at large, seeing it as a very great opportunity to show the love of Jesus to those who may not know him.
Yeah.
And also just creating an opportunity to remember that there are kids out there that are in the most need of help. How can we help children? And this was just an obvious way for us, is to look at the number of schools that had been destroyed in that area and just know these kids are fully displaced. And so we came in contact with the Children's Community Charter School up in Paradise, and their building was completely burned. They are a K-8 school.
K-8,
and they have about 150 students in their enrollment.
Okay.
And we just basically did the same thing. We just made the connection with them, designed sort of the idea of how it might work, brought them in, we got to know each other, and then it went actually fairly quickly to where we had a signed 6-month contract to rent out our space and to use all 8 of our classrooms.
You're going to let that school meet on your campus?
That's correct.
For 6 months?
That's correct.
Help them get back on their feet?
With the option for 30 additional months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yep. Okay, these gift cards right here, where do you think they're going to be distributed?
Well, I know for a fact, I'm just going to say this, I'm a preacher, so I'm going to preach it, because they're going to go exactly where God wants them to go, because he is an amazingly great God who just always provides.
He is.
Indeed. And so we want to thank you for being a part of God's provision as a church. Really appreciate that. These things are going to go where they absolutely are needed, and that's most likely going to be with our Hope Church partners.
Yeah.
And the various families that have been affected there.
Yeah.
They know their congregants better than we do. They know who's in most need.
Uh-huh.
So we'll use them to decide some of those things. And we also want to make sure, since we have 100 students now on our campus, that there's an obvious connection there.
There'll be some great news there,
too. Absolutely.
I wish we could bring more, but
this is awesome.
I'm happy. Our church has been very generous to give out these gifts, and they're going to a great place, to a great church, providing hope and love and sharing God's love with people in need. So thank you, Pastor Ed. God bless you and
bless
your church.
You as well, brother.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So when the film credits roll, Lisa Sweeney was the director and producer of that video. She was with me in that room. Ed is such a wonderful pastor, and I am convinced God led us to the right church to partner with, because you guys have been so generous all this last month to take those cards off the giving tree, to put either Target or Walmart or gas cards in there. We filled up that shoebox, And it was wonderful to be able to bring that shoebox, which happened to be in the Samaritan's purse. What do you call it? Operation Christmas Child box. That we had one left over, and we brought that to Ed. And then in God's providence, that church housed over 100 people in their own private homes of the fire victims from Paradise. Now, just so you know, this church, Grace Community Church, is in Chico. Paradise is about 12 or 13 miles east of this church. But because Paradise, almost the entire city, burnt to the ground, Chico became the center of operations for the help and the rescue and all the benevolence that was given out to those people. So helping out those people that stayed overnight, and then to say, Pastor Stan from the Hope Church, you can come meet in our church. If you can imagine, the second service finishes here, and everybody cleans up a little bit. Grab your communion cups, grab your pencils, whatever you doodled on instead of listening to me, and then you all up and cleared out, and then about a half an hour later, the next church comes in and is now going to meet in the church. So it's a total blessing for the Hope Church and Pastor Stan. That church is probably where most of those gift cards are going to. And then to find out, hey, there's a school out there who also burnt to the ground. Can we do anything to help? They had been praying in the past few months. Says, God, you've given us a big campus. We have a new worship center. We have this old worship center that they turned into a student ministry center and had a bunch of classes for kids and children's Sunday school. And they said, what do you want us to do with it? And God just dropped the school into their lap and said, here's 100 kids that need a place to meet, kindergarten through eighth grade. They signed a six-month operation. So 5 days a week, they're going to have all those little crumb crunchers running around their campus from 8 to 3, which is great because our church gets a little taste of that. About 30 kids show up every Wednesday afternoon, and it's about 2 hours of chaos with a lot of love thrown in and candy. And but we know what it's like in just a small taste. So this church is doing amazing work, and God bless you all for being so generous to help provide needs to families of the fire victims. So transition now. We're going to get right into the message, Angels, Messengers of God. This is part of our Christmas profile series. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Joseph, the adoptive father, the Joseph who was pledged to be married to a young woman named Mary, found out she was pregnant. What is he supposed to do? It's not his child. He could have divorced her. He could have shamed her. But instead, he had a dream, and an angel spoke to Joseph and said, marry that girl, because this is the Savior. And this is a miraculous Holy Spirit-conceived woman here, and she's going to give birth to the Messiah. And guess what, Joseph? You get to be part of it as his legal father. So Joseph is the first profile. Then last week we went on the other side. Instead of somebody who agreed with God and was obedient to the vision, you have somebody who's totally opposed to God, somebody who's totally paranoid and threatened by the coming of the Messiah. And this was King Herod in Israel. And there's a man who missed his Messiah because of his own pride, his ego, his fear of what the coming of the new King of Kings, the King of the Jews, what would that mean to him? And he could only see it as a threat. How sad when Jesus came to bless everybody, including Herod. How sad he missed his Messiah. This week, we're going to focus on the angels. Now, angels, if you don't know the Christmas story and you haven't read Luke 1 or 2, if you haven't read Luke 2, that's fine because you just heard it from Eva and Angel. They read the story to us. But in Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, you can't hardly read in the story, you can't hardly throw a rock into that passage without running into an angel. Because an angel spoke to Mary, an angel spoke to Zechariah, an angel spoke to Joseph in a dream. And there were one angel and then a whole myriad of angels that were out there above in the sky outside of Bethlehem above the shepherds to announce the coming of the Savior. The angel's role is prominent. The angel's role is so prominent that you can't hardly throw a rock at a Christmas hymn book without running into angels. Let me just give you some examples of that. Angels from the realms of glory. You know that Christmas hymn? Wing your flight over all the earth. Ye who sing creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Another song, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, that glorious song of old, from angels flying over the earth to touch their harps of gold. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains. The first Noel, who said it? The first Noel, the angels did say, right? Silent night, glory streams from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. And then finally, my favorite Charles Wesley song, because he's a good Methodist, it's singing, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. So these hymn writers, they were right. The angels had a lot to do with Christmas. They had a lot to say about Christmas. It's primarily from angels that we learn about the significance of Jesus' birth. So what is it about angels that makes them so important? Let me talk about just one of the angels. His name is Gabriel. By the way, if you want to win a Bible trivia contest, which I always do, if I can, I missed a question one time, and it made me so upset that I won't get into my own little character flaws, but let's just say that I determined I was not going to lose another Bible trivia game. So, but in this Bible trivia question, how many angels are mentioned by name in the Bible? Anybody know? How many angels are mentioned by name? We have Gabriel. I'll give you Gabriel. There's another one who's the archangel, who's also the personal angel in charge of protecting Israel. His name is Michael. Now, as far as I know, there's no Clarence mentioned in the Bible. There's no other angels, Dudley. If you watch The Preacher's Wife, we watched that this week. There are no other names other than Michael and Gabriel mentioned in the Bible. But there are myriads and thousands of angels. So what I wanted to do today was talk about the angels being these messengers of God and try to figure out who they are and what they are and what they are not and how do they compare to us human beings. What advantage, by the way, this is where I'm going to drive at in this message. What advantage do we human beings have that the angels do not have? See if you can figure that one out as we're going on. What do we have that the angels do not have? Okay, who and what are the angels? First of all, the angels are spirit beings. That means they are not human beings. They are not humans who lived a good life here on earth and then they died and they went to heaven and they were waiting to get their wings, so they needed to come back to earth and do a good deed for somebody in trouble, like if you know the story of It's a Wonderful Life, that's Clarence, right? Clarence was a man who lived some 200 years ago, and he died and went to heaven, and he's waiting to get his wings, so the angels send him back to help out Jimmy Stewart, who's George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. Well, that's a great story. It's not biblical theology, because there are, angels are in a different category. They're not human. They didn't become angels. They just were created as angels. So the angels are spirit beings. That means we're in a separate group as human beings from the angels. Number two, angels are immortal. Angels were created to live forever. Luke's gospel, Jesus says they will never die again. The angels will never die again. In this respect, they are like the angels. So in the resurrection, when we are raised to life with Christ in heaven, we will never die again. We will be immortal. And it says we will be like the angels in that sense. The third thing about angels is they are holy. Now, when I say holy, I don't mean they're holy like God is holy, because that God is the only one who is truly holy and completely morally perfect and free from sin. But the angels are holy in the sense that they are set apart for God's purposes. Set apart to God. In Mark's gospel, Jesus says, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory and with the holy angels. Jesus calls the angels holy. The next thing about angels is they are innumerable. Innumerable. There are myriads of them. English translation, there's a whole lot of them. There's a whole bunch of angels. You have come to Mount Zion, the author of Hebrews says. You've come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to a thousands of angels in joyful assembly. So there are many, many angels. If Jesus says there's a guardian angel for each child that's walking in the earth, how many children are there? That's at least how many angels there are. So they're innumerable. There are myriads and thousands of them. The next thing about angels is they are powerful. These are powerful beings. In Psalm 103, it says, praise the Lord, you angels of his, you mighty creatures who carry out his plans, listening for each of God's commands. So the angels are mighty creatures. They are powerful. The next thing about angels is they don't have a gender, right? They are neither male nor female. They are sexless. Jesus said that when he was talking about marriage, you remember there was a question that somebody asked Jesus about marriage, and this woman that had been married to all these different men because of Levitical law, and I don't want to go into detail, but she dies, and the basic question was, well, whose wife is she if she was married to all these men? And Jesus says, you don't understand the scriptures or the power of God. And Jesus says, when the dead rise, they will not be married. They will be like the angels in heaven. So there's no male or female. Now, Roma Downey, she was a very attractive angel in Touched by an Angel, and she looked female to me, but that she was an angel, and the only thing we can do as human beings playing an angel is you have to have either a male or female play an angel. So that's just how that works, but that doesn't mean that they are male or female. And then finally, what do the angels mostly do? This is why God created the angels. He created the angels so they could minister. In Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus, or the author says, but angels are only servants. Servants is another term for minister. Angels are only servants. They are spirits sent from God to care for all those who receive salvation. So the angels are here to serve, and they are here to serve God, and they're also here to serve us. Angels are not to be worshiped. Paul says in Colossians, he says, you know, when people who claim to be followers of Christ, when they go astray theologically, when they stop worshiping God the way the Bible reveals God to be, when they get into doctrinal error about who God is, it says, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement. So self-abasement would be one way of getting off track. And let no one defraud you of your prize by the worship of angels. So the angels are not to be worshipped. John gets these amazing revelations in the book of Revelation, and almost every time he's overwhelmed, he falls down at his feet. A lot of times John just falls down at his feet in worship. And what do the angels say when John does that? The angel says, get up. I'm not God. Don't worship me. Right? So that their angels are not to be worshipped. We're not to worship any creature or anything in creation. The only thing we are to worship is our Creator. Even Satan, when he appeared to Jesus in Jesus' temptation, right? And Satan's running out of tricks. He's running out of ways to try to deceive Jesus and get him to sin. And so finally just said, look, hey, the kingdoms of this world have been given to me. I can give the kingdom to whoever I want to give. I will make you Jesus. I'll make you the ruler of the world right now if you will bow down and worship me. And you remember Jesus being filled with the Spirit of God, Jesus being our model. Jesus fought off Satan the same way that you and I fight off Satan. He fought him with the Spirit of God, and he fights him with the Word of God. And Jesus answered Satan's temptation, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, it is written. Scripture says, he says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So we're not to worship angels, right? They shouldn't be worshipped because angels can't even hold a candle to Jesus. Look, it says right here in Hebrews, and this is a long passage, and I'm going to jump down to verse 2 because it says in the past God spoke through the prophets. Verse 2, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So how does God reveal himself to humanity now that Jesus has come? Through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Now, who is Jesus, and how is he different from angels? The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. That's why Jesus could say to his followers, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's how much, not just like the Father, but Jesus is God in the flesh. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. The Son is the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he, Jesus, had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so he, Jesus, became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So the angels cannot even compare to Jesus. They're not superior to human beings. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about judging. Remember, he's talking about people that have these legal disputes with each other in the Corinthian church. And he says, you guys, you're missing the boat. You should be able to resolve your own problems without having to take it to court, without having to get lawyers involved and sue each other. Can't you just resolve your own problems on your own? And in that argument, Paul says, don't you realize that we Christians will judge angels? And I'm thinking of like, huh? How in the world are human beings, followers of Christ, how is it that we are going to judge angels? How does that even work? Well, the only way that I can figure it out, besides reading a good commentary, is to say this. I think what Paul means that in the future, in the resurrection, that all of us Christ followers, we are going to take part in the judgment of the fallen angels, of the angels who would not stay under God's authority, of the angels that went away with the ultimate rebel, Lucifer, who became Satan, the devil, the dragon that we talked about last week in Revelation 12, and they followed him, and they will be judged, and we will take part in that judgment when we reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom. So it says God is committed to helping us. He's helping us. He doesn't say, God never says he's going to, quote, help the angels, but he often says he's going to help us. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. And you and I, because of our faith in Christ, we are children of God by faith and sons of Abraham through our faith in Jesus. So that applies to us. God's going to help us, not necessarily the angels. I want to say one other thing about angels. And it's like, hey, I'm giving you, this is not an exhaustive concordance on what are, tell me all about angels. But I just want to say something, what angels know and what angels don't know. Because they're not all knowing. Angels are not omniscient as God is. It says in 1 Peter, God revealed to these prophets that their work was not for their own benefit, but for yours. As these prophets spoke about things such as Christ's suffering and glory, which you have now heard from messengers who've announced the good news. Now, sometimes when you hear messengers, you think angels. In this case, the messengers are talking about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists of the New Testament era, of the early church. These guys went out and announced the good news by the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And then it says, and so the gospel, salvation, we're lost. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That whole message and how that works, and that how God himself would become a human being and sacrifice himself, voluntarily lay down his life on the cross to somehow pay the price of sin. It says these are things which even the angels would like to understand. So the angels certainly do not understand the salvation story backwards and forwards, as some of us are able to, because we have the revelation of God's word now in the New Testament. Now here's, I want to make a transition, because I've been talking about the angels for a while now. I want to ask you guys the question, how do we human beings, how do we differ from the angels? What makes us unique? What, and here's another question, what advantage do we have over the angels? What is something that God gives us that he's never going to give the angels? Okay, let me get to that by making a few statements, okay? Jesus himself, he came into the world. He came into the world to die for our sins, yes, but he came into our world also to give us life. Jesus, when he died for us on the cross, he absorbed everything that is dirty and ugly and negative about our lives to make us his own. Right? Jesus freed us from all the consequences and all the fallout of sin. And so here's the thing. Jesus not only cleanses us from the dark side of our own personalities, all that ugly part, because sin is ugly, and every time we sin, it's not pretty. Right? We make the world a worse place when we sin. Right? And we're supposed to do the opposite. Jesus not only cleanses you from the dark side of your personality, but Jesus also credits you with his righteousness. So we get the righteousness of Christ. He takes our sin, he gives us his righteousness, and then Jesus starts this lifelong process. You know, and that's the message that is wrong about the gospel when they say, hey, here's what the gospel is. Jesus died for our sins. We accept him in our lives. We pray a prayer and say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. We say that prayer, and now we have fire insurance, and now we know that when we die, we'll go to heaven. right? So that's all we need. That's all you need to know is that you accept Christ, and when you die, you go to heaven. That is only a small part of the gospel message. Because the gospel message is Jesus was coming to bring the kingdom of God to earth. And bringing the kingdom of God to earth, it happens little by little in every human heart, every life that bows its knee to the authority of Jesus and say, transform me from the inside out. Make me the new person that you want me to be. Then Jesus starts this slow, lifelong, day by day, decision by decision, transformation, where we become less and less like our old self and more like the person of Jesus. There's where the Christian life is so different, because he's bringing the kingdom of God on earth through us, and not just through our message, but through our lives. So here's what let me just say a Christian life hack. You heard this. You guys have heard of life hacks. Like here's how you get an avocado out of its shell, right? And it tells you to get a big spoon and scoop it out. Well, I learned that as a prep cook. But that's a life hack for making avocados or making guacamole. A Christian life hack is this, that this transformation that Jesus promises us, where he changes us from our old self to the new self, this transformation process, it'll go a lot faster and a lot easier if you're willing to cooperate with Jesus. He's still going to do it in your life, but it's going to be a lot harder and it's going to be a lot more painful until we realize that what Jesus wants for us is the best. So let's just cooperate with him instead of fighting him every time he wants to change our character. Now, in the 80s and 90s, I used to listen to, he was one of my Christian heroes. I used to follow this guy, and everything he said or wrote, I used to try to get. His name was Tony Campolo. Has anybody ever heard of Tony Campolo? Tony Campolo is a Christian professor. He's an activist, and he was a great speaker. I don't hear him speaking much anymore, but he used to speak all the time, and I love to hear him talk. He said he wasn't a Pentecostal, but he talked so fast that most people thought he was speaking in tongues, so that got him over the top. So Tony Campolo, he said this about heaven. He was given a talk on heaven and on angels, and Tony Campolo said this. He said, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get to heaven, because when I get there, I'm going to walk right into it. I am not just going to walk into heaven, he said. I am going to strut into heaven. And I'm going to yell at the angels, out of my way, angels. Hey, you there, get me a hamburger, right? And I'm reading this story, and I'm saying, what an arrogant so-and-so. Where does he get the chutzpah to start talking about going into angels and start going into heaven and start ordering angels around? Doesn't that sound kind of arrogant, big-headed, too glib? But here's how he explained it. Here's the difference, and this is where we human beings are different from angels. This is the advantage that we have. This is maybe why Tony Campolo has a little bit of truth on why he said what he said. He said, for us human beings, you see, God gives us the ability every day to make moral choices, right? God gives us a freedom that the angels do not have. See, once the angels, back in eternity past, before the creation of the world and all that, when God created all the angels and there were no fallen angels, God gave the angels one opportunity to make a choice. And when Lucifer raised his ugly head and when he thought he was such a mighty archangel that everybody ought to start worshiping him instead of God, God gave a one-time, and I'm serious when I say it, a one-time only opportunity to all the angels and said, look, I'm going to give you a choice. You can go with this created being over here, no matter how great he looks, his name is Lucifer. You can go with him or you can stay with me, but you're going to have to choose. It's got to be one or the other. God is saying to the angels what Jesus said to us. You're either for me or you're against me. And one-third of the angels chose to go with Lucifer, and that's when the angels became fallen angels. That's when in Revelation 12, we were reading last week about that scene in heaven with the dragon trying to devour the child, and then there was war in heaven, it says in the rest of the chapter, and one-third of the angels were cast out of heaven. There's where the real spiritual battle began, and now there's where Satan came from, and there's where all the fallen angels came from, only we don't call them fallen angels now. We call them demons. There's where the demons came from. Once those angels made that choice, either follow Lucifer and make your loyalty to him, or follow God and make your loyalty to him, once they made that choice, the angels have no more choice in the matter. They don't have free will to the extent that we do. So God gives us this free will to make moral choices. He holds us accountable, makes us responsible for the choices. Yes, this world has a lot of evil in the world, and a lot of people are doing some very bad things. Sometimes even us, when we act selfishly, when we rebel against God's rule in our lives, when we say my way, not God's way, sometimes we too contribute to the evil that's in the world. That's why, so Paul in Romans 12, and you get to Romans 12, and this is a great letter about the whole plan of God for salvation. When you get to Romans 12, it's basically saying, look, now that you are a Christ follower, how then should you live? And at the end of chapter 12, he's talking about making a difference in our world, turning the world upside down, making the world a better place. And Paul says it this way. He says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing good. So here's how we humans are different. When you and I consistently live in a way where we do good, where we choose the good, in that way we become heroes in God's sight. When we come to a major crossroads in our life that requires a moral choice, I mean, you can't be like Yogi Berra. You can't be just like Yogi Berra. Hey, Yogi Berra says, whenever you come to a fork in the road, take it. Okay? Kind of funny, but it doesn't really give you a lot of wisdom in life, right? Which road should you take, right? So Jesus is saying, I want you to take my road. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit, that still small voice that says, when you come along a place in the road and you come to a fork and are you going God's way or another way, it says, listen to the Holy Spirit. This is the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it, right? So you're listening to the Holy Spirit. When you're making all those good choices, you're becoming a better person. You are making the world a better place. You are not being overcome by evil, but you are now overcoming evil with good. And in that sense, you are doing something that the angels can never do, because the angels can never make that moral choice. So that's why there is such a thing as Christian heroes, because in order to be a hero, you have to come to some crisis, some life or death situation where you could either shrink back and let somebody else do it, or you could step forward in spite of your fear, and you could act with courage to step in and stop some evil, or stop some injustice, or act with compassion instead of sitting back in apathy. And whenever you do that, you make the world a better place. You don't let evil get the best of you, but you conquer evil by doing good. When you act that way, you are acting in a way that the angels cannot even understand. We have the ability to do that. Look at how one of our mission agencies is overcoming evil by doing good. This is a mission agency that our church supports. It's called the International Justice Mission. I got a newsletter electronically, and it was talking about a story of what the International Justice Mission was doing in the Caribbean, right? So this happened last month. So this is very recent, like a month ago. Think about this when I tell you the story. A month ago, the International Justice Mission was contacted by the police in Santo Domingo. They had heard that there was a sex trafficking ring that was being run in the back of this bar in Santo Domingo. There was an underage girl, her name was Rebecca, and she was being held captive there as a slave to this trade, right? And so the International Justice Mission, now they hear about this, they partner with the police. On a Thursday night in November, they make a raid on that bar. And they find that there's not just Rebecca, but there's four other underage girls who are being held in forcible prostitution. And there was also a 19-year-old young woman. And men would come in there and they'd pay their money, and you know what happened. So over and over. So the International Justice came in with the police. They arrested the bar owner, the bartender, the security guard, and this other guy, whoever was probably the treasurer of the money. And they arrested them all, and those people all went to jail, and the bar's been closed down. They've rescued the women. They've given them counseling. They've taken them to women's shelter, and they're overcoming. And this is just a small story of an example of an organization, the IJM, that's involved in 35 countries. Their global goal in the world is to end the sex or to end human trafficking in the world today. And we're blessed to be part of that. We're blessed to not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Whenever we do that, we act like heroes. We act like the way Jesus wants us to act. I'll tell you, there's something else that we human beings can experience that the angels, these awesome messengers of God, they cannot experience. You and I have the ability to be redeemed. You and I have the ability to accept and receive God's forgiveness, to have eternal life in Jesus Christ. The angels can't experience that. You and I have the ability to grow, to change, to overcome evil by doing good. That's something the angels can never experience. Do you remember the last song in our Christmas show? And it's hard to believe the way time goes. That was 7 days ago that we had that last Christmas show, Christmas in Sebastopol. I know April and Becky are going, yeah, 7 days. I've been finally able to rest now for a little bit. So in that Christmas show, do you remember when Sarah Warren and her beautiful black Christmas dress, you know, she got up and she started singing that song, Every Praise. You remember that? Every Praise. I remember standing up. I actually got rhythm that night, man. I went back and forth. I started clapping my hands. It was wonderful. But when in that song, Every Praise, one of the phrases is she says, the reason why we give every praise to God is because God is my Savior, because God is my healer, and because God is my deliverer, right? Angels can never say that. God is my Savior. Humans, only humans, we can say that. God is my healer and God is my deliverer. And when we take that salvation that God gives us and we start acting in our world in a redemptive way, when we start using our moral choices to bring more good into our world than evil, when we start being a blessing to others, when we start exercising compassion, when we get to the end of your life, if this is the way your character is being transformed into the likeness of Christ, when you're changing injustice into justice, when you're replacing hate with love, when you're instead of resentment and bitterness, you're exercising forgiveness, whenever you're doing that, you're overcoming evil by doing good. And I really think now I get what Tony Campolo was saying now when he says, when I get to heaven, I'm not just going to walk in, I'm going to strut in and I'm going to say, step aside, angels, I'm coming through. Because that's the way heroes are able to act. Tony, he continues his talk on angels in heaven and he says this, I'm going to go up before the judgment seat of Christ and I'm going to be able to look at God and I'm just going to stand there because I'm not going to have to say anything. I'm not going to have to defend myself. I'm not going to have to because Jesus will be right there and he's going to say, Father, I would like you to meet my friend Tony. Tony is the perfect one. Tony is the one that I've transformed. And then he said, and then Tony Campolo sort of said tongue in cheek, you know, in that moment, he says, I hope my wife is there. And he said, how? And then you say, how can you get away with that? How can you talk that way? Tony can only be made perfect when all his sins are blotted out. Tony can only be made perfect when all those sins are wiped away. And Tony says, what does it say in Psalm 103? He has removed our rebellious acts as far away as the east is from the west. You walk into heaven clean and unafraid because Jesus came to earth and Jesus completed his rescue mission for you. Jesus overcame evil by doing good perfectly. We act like him when we overcome evil by doing good. Let's circle back to the Christmas story. Back to what that angel of the Lord announced to those shepherds outside in the fields of Bethlehem. He said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. I wish I could say it as well as Eva and Angel said it earlier. He said, here's the difference between us and angels. We hear that announcement, and it's actual, genuine good news for us. The angels could only announce the good news of salvation. The angels couldn't experience salvation. Only we humans can do that. Even the joy of the angels, the joy that they have, it's not for them. It's not the angels rejoice. It's the angels are rejoicing on our behalf. They're not the ones separated by God, from God by sin. It's we who are reconciled to God. And so the joy is for our salvation. The angels are actually happy, but they're happy for us. The angels are prominent in the Christmas story. The angels were there when the angels were there when the announcement came to Mary. The angels were with Jesus when he was born. They announced it to the shepherds out in the field. The angels were there with Jesus when he was resisting Satan in the wilderness. The angels were there with Jesus when he was suffering, of saying, Father, if there's any other way to save these people than for me going to the cross, Lord, do it. Any other way, please do it. And God said, you're the only way. And it says the angels came and ministered to him because he said, my soul is sorrowful to the point of death. So the angels were there with Jesus. The angels were there at the empty tomb in the resurrection. And the angels are going to be there also in the final day when that trumpet blast happens and when Jesus gives the command to gather up his people. Look what Matthew says in chapter 24. And he, the Son of Man, will send forth his angels with the sound of a mighty trumpet blast. And they, these angels, they will gather together his chosen ones from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. That's going to be another day of rejoicing. That's going to be our day of redemption. That's going to be when we get to join in on the celebration of Jesus' ultimate victory, when the kingdom of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so why can't we say what the angel said at the end when they said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men and women on whom his favor rests. The message of the angels is grace and peace, peace and reconciliation, peace and a right relationship restored with God. And honestly, I look in a room this size and people listening via live stream, I just know that that for all of us to talk about peace, the reality is that not every one of us has that deep, genuine peace. That the deep, genuine peace is still something that we lack, because it's really only when our hearts are at peace that we can become peacemakers. If you don't have the peace of Christ ruling in your heart, you cannot be a peacemaker. You cannot shout with genuine joy saying, glory to God in the highest. You can't have God's peace until you are one of those people on whom God's favor rests. So the next question, how do you get to be one of those people and on whom God's favors rest? It's not that elusive. It's not impossible. You don't have to run to get it. You don't have to work your way to get it. Jesus has already done it for you, and now all he's saying, just like the invitation that Jackie was talking about in communion time, he's saying, behold, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Because God still is a God who's humble enough to respect your decision. He's letting you make the choice. He's saying, I gave my life for you. Now will you give your life for me? And he's still waiting for you to give the answer. I can't imagine a God like that. A God that just, I mean, he could come in and overpower us. He could come in and coerce us. He could come in and slam us all to the ground and say, uncle, you will submit to me. You will follow me. A God could do it that way. But because he created us in his image, because he gave us the ability to choose, God says, I want to persuade you to love me and follow me. We love God because he first loved us. And he wants us to respond to his invitation out of our own free will, bowing our own knee, not because we have to, because we want to, because Jesus is worthy of us bowing our knee to him. I'd like the worship team to come up now as we get our closing song together. And as they're coming up, I just want you to take a final moment with me and bow your heads. And let's pray together to God. And friends in this church, in this quiet moment, as our eyes are bowed, as our eyes are closed, we're bowing our heads before God. I just want to ask you, if this is the day for you, if maybe you're now aware that Jesus, he's not just a baby born in a manger, He's God himself come to earth. He's come to give us a new life, to give us abundant life. He's come to offer us forgiveness. He's come to offer us the opportunity to change us, to discard the old life and to embrace the new life that he's offering us as we follow him, as we join him in his kingdom work to overcome evil by doing good in this world. If you've never made a decision yet to bow your knee and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be your follower and you be my leader for the rest of my life. If you've never made that decision, but today is your day and you want to make it, I invite you to pray along with me. Pray along with these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I didn't really understand fully who you were until recently. But now that I do, Lord, I don't want to be apart from you. I don't want to try to make it on this life on my own outside of you. Lord, I want to become your follower. So, Lord, please come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. God, give me the ability to make changes so that I'm not just going to be one of these people that keeps the world as it is. I want to be one of those people that can be difference makers, where I can use my life to overcome evil by doing good. And Lord, I know I can't do that without you, but with you, God, all things are possible. So Lord, I accept you into my heart. I declare that I'm your follower. And Lord, show me the next steps. What does it mean to follow you, to be joyfully one of your disciples? Lord, thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for changing my life forever and bringing me into your kingdom. I love you, and I pray all these things in your name. Amen. If you've never prayed that prayer before, but you prayed that for the first time, I'd love to talk to you about it. I'd love you to come to me after the service out there in the lobby area and say, Jim, I made that decision to follow Christ. I've got some resources for you, and I want to shake your hand and congratulate you. Right now, we're going to all stand, and we're going to close in a final Christmas song.
Stand with us, please, as we sing Go Tell It on the Mountain, the chorus.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Everyone.
Let's all go out and let's be like the angel. Let's go out and tell everybody we see, today I bring you some good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ the Savior, and there's no better way to celebrate than for you to invite them and bring them back here tomorrow night for our 5 o'clock, right? At least I'm going to do five. Yeah, the 5 o'clock Christmas Eve service with the Nomadic Shelter joining us. It's going to be a great time of celebration. We're looking forward to that. God bless you. May the peace of Christ, which he brings, may that rule in your hearts today. Amen.
Amen.